Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live, straight from the whipping up a poetic fusion of life, love, laughter, inspiration, motivation, education, and mental stimulation.
With a cherry on top, with our weekly hot topics on everyday relations, welcome
to Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
With your host, Poetic Energy herself,
bringing the electric current with her own poetic flow, weekly featured guests, and open mic segments. She promises to keep the current and the waves
live.
At all times. Here on Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
Poetic Energy Blog Talk Radio.
The number to chime in and express yourself is 917-932-8881. That's 917-932-8881. Non-U.S. listeners, dial 1-877-218-1183. That's 1-877-218-1183.
Hello, I am your host, Queen Tay, and you are listening into Conversations with the Queen, where we discuss any and everything about life, the good, the beautiful, the bad, and the ugly, but we always have a helping hand and a helping word. All right, today's topic is the science of addiction and addictive behaviors. But before we get into that, I would love to remind you that if you miss a show or are further interested in more information on this or other show's topics, you can check us out on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com. I repeat, conversationswiththequeen, everything spelled correctly, .blogspot.com. All right. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend and, you know, that everything went well with you. And that, you know, everything's going good and going great. All right, so peace and blessings to all those who are in the chat right now and all those who are on the switchboard. Do remember that this is how we do our show here. You know, we take the first half hour to really, you know, fill out the topic, introduce some research and some information. And then during the second half of the show, the second half hour, we will be accepting callers and you guys can get your input and, you know, let us know what's on your mind. The call-in number is 917-932-8881 and all you have to do to speak is press 1 to raise your hand. All right, so let's jump into this topic without further ado. When we think about the word addiction, we normally associate that word with substance abuse, but addiction is a state of mind. One can be addicted to anything from shopping to food. I believe that especially in this society, we have all at some point in our lives experienced addiction of some sort. One of the major sources of addiction I feel that most people do not fully know is that most people do not fully know themselves. And the way that this society works between school, work, and many other stresses of just trying to do the daily life, you know, and with the many other stresses of daily life, we don't take the time to satisfy our own desire to know ourselves. The many people aren't even aware that that's what they're feeling, let alone possess the ability to engage in this process. So in the spirit of shedding light on this issue, we will explore the science of addiction and addictive behaviors. Sound good? All right. First off, we always start this way attacking, you know, what is addiction? Okay. Addiction is a chronic but treatable brain disorder that is defined as a physical and psychological dependence on a substance, experience, or emotion. Yes, you can be addicted to emotion. Some people are addicted to experiencing different types of emotions. And, you know, that's interesting because most people don't really think about that when they think about addiction. There are mainly two categories of addiction: substance dependence and behavioral addiction. And substance dependence is a chronic relapsing disorder characterized by persistent substance-seeking or taking behaviors, despite harm that may be caused by the substance. That's an important part. it's when you have what really categorizes an addiction as an addiction is not only the compulsive behavior to the need or the want to have that thing, but it's really despite the fact that that thing is detrimental to your life, to your body, or the two. Some common substance dependence addictions are meth, heroin, cocaine, crack, nicotine and caffeine, and sugar. A lot of people are addicted to sugar and they don't even know it. Sugar is in a lot of stuff, you know, especially that high fructose corn syrup. That stuff is horrible for you. And a lot of people are addicted to it and do not know that, but, you know, refined sugar is actually classified as a drug. The way that it behaves in your body, you can get withdrawal symptoms from it. Some people, if they don't have their morning coffee, you know, with their caffeine and their sugar in it, they get withdrawal symptoms. They get headaches, all this other stuff. So it's important to note that some of the substances that we are addicted to are legal and are, you know, readily sold in your everyday grocery store or local corner market. So pay attention to those things as well. Behavioral addiction. Now, this is a reoccurring compulsion by an individual to engage in some specific activity despite harmful consequences. Again, the emphasis on despite the fact that is not good for you, okay? Some common behavioral addictions are food, sex, gambling, internet, video games, pornography, and work, to name a few. I'm sure we all know some people who might have some shopping or, you know, gambling or even some internet addictions going on. My generation specifically, you know, the younger generation, 20 and under, not even, like 25 and under, might be all plagued with an addiction to social networking. You know, that's something to definitely investigate and look further into. Now, move on to how does addiction affect those around us? So pretty much we, you know, always and often focus on the fact that the addict, you know, has issues with the addiction. Okay? I am definitely missing a page here. my bad. I skipped something, sorry. What are the causes of addiction? Yes, this makes more sense. I'm like, that didn't flow correctly. What are the causes of addiction? Okay, there are several causes of addiction. I'm only going to list three possible causes for addiction. So pretty much one of the causes, well, I'll just start saying, three of the causes that I like to, you know, focus in on and feel that are important are genetic, environment, and the inability to self-regulate moods. See, that third one is very, very key and important. Genetics. See, some people can be genetically predisposed to addiction due to the fact that the behavior of addiction begins to change the fundamental ways that the person's brain is structured. Certain genes make it harder for some people to quit once they start. So pretty much the fact that, you know, change the way your brain is structured, that means it's changing your DNA, essentially. And when we have, and there are certain genes also that are, you know, a little bit more conditioned towards staying on addictive behavior. There's a whole science behind it. It's complex. It's about, you know, biology and genetics. I'm not going to get too much into that, but just know that there is. You could do some research on it. If you feel that any addictive behavior is running your family, that'd be something really great to look into. So pretty much there is an aspect to the genetic predisposal towards addiction, okay? Environment. The environmental or external factors of addiction can include everything from stress to the accessibility of the substance or behavior one is trying to seek or one is addicted to. So, pretty much, your environment plays a very big role on your you know, the way you're going to react towards addictive behaviors, because pretty much it can trigger it. If somebody is in, let's just give you a traditional crack addict, okay? Somebody's a crack addict, and they're around a whole bunch of other crack addicts. Do you think that they're going to more than likely indulge in the crack? Yes, obviously, because that's what they're surrounded by. But also another factor that's due to the environment that we really don't particularly look at is the fact that your environment can affect your mood, thusly leading us to the third aspect where stress, you know, poor ability to express emotions, anger, all these different types of things will predispose you to becoming addicted to substances or behaviors as well. And I don't just want to focus on behaviors. I mean substances. I want to focus on behaviors because, you know, a lot of us think we're normal. And a lot of us actually have secret addictions. I know personally, I will share this with you guys, that at one point in my life, I was addicted to eating and still am to a degree. But I decided once, you know, certain things in my life came to the terms of harming my body, I said, no, I'm going to conquer this. And, you know, one of the things that I do or am doing right now as a result of showing that I do have the fortitude and the strength to overcome that is right now I'm on a 7-day juice fast, no solid foods. Now, see, that's me coming a long way from about 2 years ago. But you see, something as simple as we don't even really think about as food, we can become addicted to. All right. The inability to self-regulate mood. This is really important because I know this is part of the reason where my addiction came from. And that was, you know, I'm kind of an emotional eater. Some people are more psychologically sensitive than others. And in this society, we are not readily taught the proper ways to deal with negative emotions. Thus, this leaves us open to a host of addictive behavioral opportunities. Okay, pretty much, if you don't learn how to deal with your emotions, if you don't know how to cope with stress, anger, heartbreak, abandonment issues, any host of different emotional issues, you can be prone to what they call self-medication. And self-medication normally goes hand-in-hand with addictions because self-medicating, and I'm not talking about self-healing, that's different, but self-medicating through especially harmful substances like drugs, alcohol, or even less harmful substances, like we said, like things like food, or whatever. These things have long-term effects on our bodies. So it's pretty much a temporary fix, but in the long term it's becoming destructive. So it's not really a healing or a real therapy, because a real therapy is holistic and will go inward and help you to really eradicate the issues and heal the issues that you're dealing with and make you a more balanced person. So the inability to self-regulate mood and the fact that we're really not taught a lot of these things, you know, it's not encouraged in this society to really speak about how we feel, especially men. You know, see, this is very important because, I mean, I've had this discussion a billion times with my mom. She was just talking to me about this type of stuff when I was younger. She's like, it's really not, you know, accepted in this society for men to show emotions. And, you know, that can be horribly detrimental to the psyche when we're not expressing our emotions, when we're suppressing our emotions, and then, you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters too, but, you know, brothers tend to try and drown that out with self-medication, or, you know, they really don't like to reach out for help or really get the proper healing that they need, because they don't even feel that they can even take that first step and say, this is how I feel right now. So, you know, that's a very important cause or root cause that can lead to addiction or addictive behaviors. Okay? Now we're going to get to this. Okay. How does addiction affect those around us? Now, like I was about to go into before, Many times we focus on the effects of that addiction has on the addict, but the addict is not the only one affected by their behavior. Many times loved ones and the family of the addict suffer from long-term and long-lasting psychological effects of of dealing with an addict. Behavioral changes in the nature of someone's personality due to addiction alone is enough to create deep and lasting wounds in the minds of those close to the addict. Sometimes these wounds serve as the trigger for those close to the addict to begin to have a type of addiction themselves. And this can create a perpetual cycle of pain and destruction that will not end until someone decides to break the chain by receiving treatment, and not only for the addiction, but therapy for the pain. Now, see, I remember I was in psychology 101 a year and a half ago, and of course, I was like, you know, a student, because I love psychology. Honestly, that's why I try to focus so much on it, because I love it. I feel like it explains a lot of the problems that we have as people. But back when I was in that class, we had a day that we did dedicated towards watching a whole documentary on children of alcoholics or children of addicts. And it was really important to note that fact that that addiction does not only affect the addict, but the people that are close to the addict, okay? So it really destroys relationships. Addiction is not conducive with healthy relationships. It's just not. Because when a person is an addict, they begin to place a certain importance on an outside thing. Remember when we talked about love and we talked about where you place love and how to place love, and placing love on outside things was a lower form of the frequency of love. It's pretty much dealing with that. And, like, when you do that, especially with a spouse or somebody close in the family, a child, a brother or a sister, you know, it breaks the relationship because you're putting more importance on a substance, on a thing, on an action than you are on that person. And a person is always going to trump an inanimate object or experience. And that's just what it is. So, you know, a lot of times the people outside of the addict, the people who have close relationships with them, they get damaged from the psychological traumas of addiction. And, you know, it's important to note that, you know, if you or somebody close to you was an addict or has been an addict or is an addict, that you address the fact that this can affect you and this can have psychological, backlash on you, and that you do need to take the time to heal from these types of things, that it's perfectly okay to understand that there was pain involved in that. And even though you yourself might not be an addict or indulged in addictive behaviors, you know, there's still some issues that can definitely come along with that, okay? That's really wrapping up on that subject. I'm moving along very quickly, but I just like to take the time to let everybody know that's on the queue, on the caller queue, or in the chat room. If you have any questions or comments on today's topic, which is the science of addiction and addictive behaviors, please do raise your hand. I'll give out the call-in number one more time, which is 917-932-8881, and you can call in with your questions or comments, additions, whatever you want to lend to the show, because remember, I don't have a show if you guys don't call in. You guys really do help to make this show very full and very full of knowledge and information, okay? I love my callers. All right, now let's get into the last aspect that I'm going to really cover on addiction, and that is, how do we treat and or cure our addictive behaviors? There are many programs that are dedicated towards treating addiction, but the common thread to them all seems to be identification and admission of the problem. It is important to note that one must go through an intense self-reflective state before they can truly begin the process of healing. That's very important. You have to have self-reflection. You have to have self-meditation. If you did not go through that step and you did not go through that step thoroughly, properly, and honestly, you'll never find any, cure for the addiction. That's just not going to happen. So you have to take that time to take your addiction seriously. Even if it's not some type of substance abuse problem, it's always a sign that there are deeper issues. You need to look inside yourself. I feel that it's also important that we take the time to examine the society in which we live. I want to repeat that. It is also important that we take the time to examine the society in which we live and pinpoint the reasons why compulsive behaviors are encouraged, yes, encouraged. Why are we so distracted from ourselves that we get caught up in the woes of the world we live in? The true keys to healing come from within. Why we are damaged in the first place might be part of a bigger and larger picture than we can imagine. But what we must do to combat this is find our own true and original purpose for being here. We all have a purpose. We just have to take the time and energy to find what it is. This is the only true way we will ever begin to heal. Okay? So that's really, really, fundamental in the aspect of learning how to, cope and heal from addiction. Two things you need to do. And I place this emphasis. There's multiple systems and steps out there, but a lot of them, I don't feel they place enough emphasis on you going within yourself, okay? Go within yourself. A lot of times we find that the source of our addiction came from an outside trigger and our inability to cope. We can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we react to these things. So in order to fix that aspect of addiction, you can stop, the substance, but still have addictive tendencies and addictive behaviors and not really fix the inner problems. So it's so important, and I cannot place enough emphasis on this, that you go within and really find the true sources of your addiction. Look to your childhood. Look to your young adult life. Look to traumatizing incidents that have happened in your life. And look how you reacted to it. Do research. Read. Understand the natures of addiction. Understand where it can come from. See, we place so much emphasis in this society on being ashamed of addiction that we don't place enough emphasis on how to heal from addiction. And, I pretty much feel like this is something a lot of people have dealt with, okay? I feel like, I'm pretty sure that, there are more than enough people who are addicts, who've got their life together, who've cleaned themselves up, and who can share their testimonies with you, but still haven't gone deep enough to heal the relationships that they've broken, to heal the relationship that they've broken with themselves. Now, see, that's important. That's real, real important right there. The relationship that they have broken with themselves. When you subject yourself to those conditions, because like we place there's always an emphasis that's placed on, because even you still want to engage in this activity, even though it's detrimental towards you. We really have to understand, what makes us hate ourselves or dislike ourselves so much to the point that we will subject ourselves to temporary fixes but long-term losses. Because there's always a mentality behind it. See, it might not be a conscious action, but there's a subconscious action that's always behind that. And we really do need to address these subconscious actions, because we really need to get out of these types of holds, because they hold us back from progress. See, it's detrimental to us. It doesn't help us to progress in our life. It doesn't help us to create in our life. It keeps us from experiencing the beauty of life, okay? So we must really, really, truthfully address these issues on a fundamental and true level, okay? Now, I'd like to note that I am in no way, shape, or form a psychological expert, but if you suspect that you or someone close to you may be battling addiction, please seek professional help. Don't be ashamed. You know, I feel like a lot of brothers and sisters, especially in the conscious community, they kind of focus on this self-reliance, and self-reliance is very great, is a very great tool, but I think that it's not properly defined. Self-reliance does not mean you can't ask for help, because, you know, it's no secret that we've been broken, okay? We've been broken as a people, we've been broken as a community, we've been broken as a family. And the only way that we're going to get back up and the only way that we're going to get anything together is through pretty much us asking for help. And we have to help each other. We have to reach out. We have to be that voice towards each other. And also, you know, there are a lot of programs out there. I actually know, I was so surprised to find this, like, especially where I live. It's like a small town in the suburbs. I was a small city, actually, on the suburbs of Boston. And, you know, I'm like, oh, we don't have anything here, blah, 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 right? But I was so surprised to find that there was a brother who had started a counseling center that was definitely geared towards our people and our problems. And, you know, therapy has helped a great number and a great deal of people. Don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to get that professional help. Don't be afraid to talk to somebody. But you also need that support system. So make sure that your friends and your friends around you are people who uplift you, people who support you, people who tell you they love you, that you're a great person, that you can do it, regardless of if you're the victim directly or indirectly of addiction, and that, you know, that things will get better. Keep that positivity around you. Keep that positivity flowing, because there's always going to be down times. And there's always going to be times where we feel like we don't have the self, you know, power to make it through those types of things. Well, that's pretty much all I've got to say. And I still see that there are no callers really on the queue with their hands raised. I guess you guys are just taking that information in. Pretty much I want to just give out the call-in number one more time before we take a little bit of a music break. The call-in number is 917-932-8881, and please give your opinion on the science of addiction and addictive behaviors. All right.
Got me telling my mama. I don't think you have to look no further, because I'm right here, and I'm ready to do all the things your man needs to do.
Tell me what kind of man would treat his woman so cold, treat you like you're nothing when you're worth more than gold. Girl, to me you're like a diamond, I love the way you shine. $100 million treasure, I'd give the world to make you mine. I'll put a string of pearls right in your hand, make love on a beach of jet black sand. Out out in the rain, we can do it all night. I'll touch all the places he would not. Never knew it gets you hard. Nothing is forbidden when we touch.
Thank you.
nice little music break there, and we did get some questions in from the chat room. Hopefully you guys are still out there and you still will grace us with the presence of calling in. And don't forget to let your voice be heard. The call-in number is 917-932-8881. Definitely let that be known. All right. Little bit of technical difficulties over here because my computer screen has frozen up for a little bit. But nevertheless, I will still share with you a little bit about how to beat addiction, and hopefully this will unfreeze. okay. Yeah. Well, I shared a link in the chat room, and it was pretty much how to beat addiction. And it gave several steps on how to beat addiction. One of the first steps that it definitely covered was, and I'm not going to cover all of them, I'm just going to cover the interesting highlights. One of them was the admittance, which I covered earlier, but really seeking help. Because it says, like, it puts the emphasis on really. Do you really want change? Because the only change that we can ever create is a change that we truthfully want. So if we don't actually want the change, we will not be able to induce that change. So it's really about hitting that point in your life where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. A lot of people say it's about a lot of people, a lot of addicts don't actually start to cope and begin to heal until they hit rock bottom. And that's because a lot of times we don't know we have a problem. We don't want to acknowledge the problem, or we just feel like we'll be all right, you know, without any type of, you know, true healing. So it's, you've got to hit that bottom place. You've got to hit that rock bottom before you can actually begin to rise. It's kind of like, you know, the whole aspect of the phoenix, you know, coming out of the ashes. So it's that whole type of deal. Also, there is an emphasis on your nutrition, because a lot of times when you know, people don't necessarily associate this, but especially with substance abusers, you have to pay attention to your nutrition. You've just put some pretty heavy damage on your body by dealing with substances that did not necessarily help you. So please go into changing the way you're eating and really making sure that you're eating nutritiously. I also suggested a lot of soups and stews, of course, you know, with lots of green vegetables and lots of live, you know, do not kill the vegetables in the stew, but lots of healthy, you know, live foods, fruit, vegetables, you know, raw foods. You know, really taking control of the nutritional aspect of your addiction. And, you know, really making sure that, you know, you're going to take care of your body so that it's not, it's while it's transitioning through that rough time of withdrawal, that you have things that you can, you know, rely on, nutrition that you can rely on. There are actually two, I like to emphasize this for all my natural people out there, natural healers, or even the, you know, people who just don't like to deal with a lot of different or don't want to anymore put inside their body any harmful substances, because I know they offer certain alternatives to the drugs, or certain alternatives to drug withdrawal to taper the symptoms so it's not so horrible in a lot of the hospitals and through Western medicine. But really, you're going from one substance to another. Like, if you're fed up with the whole substance abuse period and you really just want to get off of these artificial things that are destroying your body, there are a number of different herbal remedies that you can definitely, you can Google it and you can find it. It's very easy. I actually remember a friend of mine whose uncle was going through withdrawal. He asked me to look up some of the natural remedies. I can't give you to them off the top of the dome. I really wish I could, because my computer screen still frozen, so I can't really share that with you right now. But you know, on conversationswiththequeen.blogspot.com, I will always post more information than that we didn't necessarily get to cover on the show, that we didn't really get to, you know, deal with. If there is a caller on the line, because I can't see the screen, we can bring them on. I just won't know what to call their area code. But if there is a caller, we can bring them on. Sorry, I do not remember the question from the chat room, so I wish I could answer that one. But if we do, we could bring that person on. But if not, I'll just keep on going. You know, we've had different technical difficulties before, but we just keep it moving. Speaking more on the aspects of addiction that maybe we didn't cover, basically. Oh, I do believe, I kind of remember the sister's question now. She was kind of going into how, if it deals with self-hatred, yes, I got it, photographic memory, if addiction deals with aspects of self-hatred and neglect to know yourself, then how does that apply to our people? Well, you know that our people, specifically when I say our people, I'm talking about, you know, black people, on the African people in the diaspora, or at home, you know, everybody, nobody has an exception. This is a worldwide problem. Pretty much, we've gone through a process called colonization. And that's pretty, you know, we all know about colonization. That's when, you know, European people came from different places and began to go around the world deciding to colonize and pretty much steal lands and also people. So with that came a lot of brutalization of the image of the African man and woman. And we went through a lot of psychological trauma that induced a lot of self-hatred. You see that a lot still lingering on in our societies, because sometimes you'll have, you know, I still hear this silly comment, oh, you got good hair, girl, or, oh, I don't think nobody's darker than me. Oh, you know, the whole little, like, kind of, you know, very ignorant self-hatred, you know, type of remarks that still linger on in our culture. The whole light skin versus dark skin, fine hair versus soft hair, all that different things which come from, actually, if you would like to read on it, whether it, you know, there's been debates on its authenticity, but regardless of its authenticity, the point is that it does describe the psychological state of our people, so it's really good to go back and read the Willie Lynch letter. I'm going to restart my computer and hopefully it comes back on, because it's really, like, giving me issues today. But, like I was talking about the Willie Lynch letter, it's still a good read, regardless of its authenticity, because it does deal with the psychological problems that a lot of our people deal with. And that psychological problem of self-hatred, that leaves a lot open. If you don't even feel like, and I think we went over this, like, last week when we were talking about self-love, if you don't even feel that the way that you were born was good enough, or that you don't love the, your, you know, things that you can't genetically help, like the color of your skin or the width of your nose or the texture of your hair, these are things you cannot control. If you are programmed or trained to not like the very things which you can't even control, pretty much that leaves a very traumatic psychological detriment on whoever feels that way about themselves. And like we always say, there's this relationship that you have to build with yourself. That's pretty much what life is. Life and everything outside of you, external relationships, work relationships, everything is a relationship. And we went into, that's what we went into, the science of relationships. Yes, I went in on that. You know, all these external relationships are only a reflection of the relationship that we hold with ourselves. So if we cannot pretty much have a good, healthy relationship within ourselves, then how do we ever expect to have any type of external relationships that are healthy? So due to that fact, due to that disservice that a lot of people of color all over the world, not just so-called black people, but any type of people of color, you know, Native Americans, different Asians even still, so-called Latino and Hispanic brothers and sisters, we all dealt with the aspect of self-hatred because that was necessary to the process of colonization. You had to break the culture. You had to break the people's spirit, and you had to break them down psychologically in order to take their land because the power of a people comes from their culture and their willingness to protect themselves and their self-preservation and their love for themselves. That's what you call a national pride. That's why it was so big that we embrace ourselves, especially back in the 60s where you heard those sayings like, 60s and 70s when you heard those sayings like, black is beautiful, I'm black and I'm proud. That was the voice of a colonized, previously colonized people trying to reclaim their heritage, but not only their heritage, but their self-esteem because it had been so diminished in the previous years. And we thought things like the natural hair, afros and locks and all these beautiful things resurfacing because we had now found a way to really love our natural selves. And I do believe I saw an interview on a sister who was a Black Panther really going in on why do we wear our hair this way, because we are showing that we are no longer oppressed. We are free in our mind, and we are free to be who we are. So, you know, that whole aspect and that whole thing, that's what really, on a societal level, combats the problems of addiction for us as a black people, because or people of color, period, because when we begin to change the way that we think about ourselves, the way that we interact with each other, we decrease the environments of stress, crime, unemployment, poverty, all these different things. We don't leave any room for, you know, these psychological fragmentations that go on in our minds that allow us to think it's okay to harm ourselves. So we do have 9 minutes left in the show. Ooh, my computer's back on. I'm happy. Hopefully I'll be able to, if there's any callers on the line, I'll be able to take you if I can get this back up and running. But I'm still going to be speaking on the same subject that I was just talking about a little bit more. Pretty much, so if we begin to have that true understanding of our self-worth and our self-confidence and self-love, if we begin to take those things back, those are the true ways that we're going to heal things like addiction. And addiction is just yet another symptom of a bigger thing. That's why I feel like, you know, going in on a little bit of history, recent history, with the war on drugs. See, the way that society looks at problems, it does not heal anything. Like I've said this multiple... Hello? Hello, peace, brother. You are on Conversations with the Queen.
Hello?
Yes, caller. Sorry, hello. I couldn't get your area code. But where are you calling from, and what is your name?
Oh, sorry. Peace and love. This is Jamal Hassan. Jamal Hassan Smith. I'm calling from Los Angeles.
All right. Cool. Do you have any comments or questions on the subject of behavior, addictive behavior?
Well, one thing. Hold on 1 second. I'm so sorry. Kind of got me off guard.
No, I'm sorry.
No. One of the things that you really have to take into consideration is how, you know, certain fraternities or secret societies are really indelved inside of social engineering in our communities.
Mm.
One of the big issues that I recently stumbled upon is the whole, the dollar bill, the the statement on the dollar bill, "In God We Trust." A lot of people may think that that phrase just simply means, okay, in God, you know, the almighty being, but actually what they're referring to is gold, oil, and drugs. Gold is the world trade economy because gold is used in various different trades and international trade. Oil is sort of like the how can I say it? It's the things that feed in the machinery. Mm-hmm. It's the things that's keeping America industrial.
It's drugs. The fuel.
Yeah, the fuel. So drugs itself has a way for America to make money on both sides of the fence, either in defense or either in the offense. You know what I'm saying? So
and with the war on drugs as well, that's a whole big thing. You really have to get into the science of the war on drugs to really fundamentally understand how it's fragmented our society and our communities specifically. It's targeted towards our communities and locking our brothers up. But go on, brother.
But it's really not, it's not as heavily, it may seem that it's really targeted in our communities, but it's targeted in all communities. It's not just our communities. Our communities are affected heavily because we will always be inside of America the greatest experiment, the experiment areas for other areas. It's like it starts here, and then you see it branches off in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be in there in a second. It branches off into other areas. We have always been the stage of experiment. Even if you go back as far as the Spanish Inquisition in 1492,
To remind you, brother, that we have 4 minutes left on the call. Not to like cut you off of anything, but if you know you're gonna, I want to allow you to wrap up your point and make your point.
My point basically is that, you know, inside of America, America is an experiment on how to control the world, basically, by secret fraternities, because here in America, there's only a few countries in the whole planet where they have all the nationalities in there. America is one of the biggest melting pots, because in America, this is where you figure out how to control other countries. You control them from having them come here inside of this country, and that teaches you how to monopolize on the world, because everyone is here, so you're socially experimenting on everyone. That's why we have a so-called black market, Mexican market, Asian market. There are certain things that you would sell or buy to a certain nationality or group. So my whole thing about addiction is a form of control.
Yeah.
It's always been a thing of control. I don't really want to take up much of your time. I just wanted to briefly say that,
All right. Well, thank you for that input. That was really gracefully put and articulately spoken. So thank you for calling in. And do not forget to always tune in Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can always call back in and give your opinion on whatever we're talking about and whatever subject we're talking about. Thank you, brother. Your input was welcome.
All right, thank you.
Peace. The brother did make the points. He made a lot of good points. And now let me clarify on one of the points that I made that he disagreed with, that it's not focused in our society. If he just said that we are the initial experimented on, we're the initial people who are experimenting on, that it does denote a form of, the type of, it's geared into specifically our communities, because we are the first testers. We, you know, you can go back to the Tuskegee experiments and really, you know, see that. But we only have 1 minute left in the show, and I'd like to wrap it up before we get on out. Pretty much, I'd like to say peace to all my callers and listeners, and thank you for listening in. This show has been brought to you by the Poetic Energy Network Station, and we have a plethora of beautiful shows that we always put on throughout the week. Please come and check us out. All right, peace. I'm Tay Queen.
caught my eye. I asked her for her name. She gave me no reply. She left me standing there with arrows in my heart. But yet and still I'm wanting her. And later on that week while driving in my car, I could have sworn I saw that shorty walking down the bar. I thought she glanced at me while I was staring from above. Or is my young mind just wishing? I don't know why. Gives me hope to stay is maybe one.